You ever get what you have coming to you? Everybody look at me, well, you had that coming. Did that speak to anybody here today? Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it speaks to us pretty strongly as Christians at time. And I think it kind of holds us back a little bit. I believe that the accuser of the brother, Satan, he can convince you that what you have is yours because you deserve it for what you've done. And when Jesus came into this world, he came to redeem us from our sins, redeem us from the curse. If you're born again today, he has wiped out your sin debt. But he's done more than that. I won't say anything about women. I won't say nothing about women drivers.
Sorry, Lord.
No, sorry. We've got to have you here, Maggie. But sometimes it's our brain, it's our head where we fight the most. Hey, Bob, Maggie didn't drive down here, did she? Not yet. You will, amen. You will. But sometimes we get this idea, well, you know, I got that coming to me. It's my own fault. And Satan get in our heads today as a born-again believer, and we can convince ourselves that what I'm reaping today, I sowed years ago. And so, who can I complain? And I know myself, I'm speaking for myself for a moment, is that I used to smoke a lot. I'm going to get down and smoke, and if you smoke, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I smoked my pipe, my cigars, I chewed Mel Pouch, chewing tobacco, and I rubbed long cut classic. You talk about abusing my body, amen? Amen. And I'm telling you, the Lord took that away from me like this. And I mean, that was heavy on my heart, or my lungs, I guess, too. Because it was killing me. Okay, and I wouldn't be here today. I had to get rid of that, you know. I've known people smoke till they're 100 years old, and you couldn't tell they smoked. But I wasn't one of them. Okay? 43 years old, I didn't ready to get wiped out. And he delivered me from the tobacco, just like that. So I could walk around the day, and I could be breathing like this. And say, well, but he saved me. Praise God, he saved me from my sins. Amen. I'm breathing this way because, hey, listen, I abused my body. I deserve this, you know. Satan gets in your head and says, yeah, hey, you did it yourself. You did it to yourself. You're right. I'm not complaining. But I want to speak to you today just for a moment. Jesus come to restore you 100%. And what you have to do is get out of your head, the devil trying to tell you, well, you deserve this. Anybody ever abuse their body when you're younger? Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so there's a lot of things from abusing our body that we could be having conflicts today. And knowing that Jesus come to redeem us, knowing that Jesus is a restorer, knowing that he is a healer, but in our head we can have it convinced that I understand, but you know, I deserve this. And folks, I agree. We deserve hell. I understand that. But because of grace of God, Jesus come to redeem us of our sins and to heal our bodies. So we need to get into our mind that, yes, yeah, I abused my body, okay? But Jesus forgave me my sins. So Satan, get your lies behind me. Get behind me. Amen? In our minds sometimes we think, I don't know what you guys fight all the time. We all got our own battles. Satan's always pushing that button. He's trying to. I went to God and confessed, God, forgive me for abusing my body. Forgive me for all the time I smoked. Or whatever it might be. Again, I'm not getting down to smoking. Yours might be eating too much bacon. Amen? Too much bacon, I hate to tell you that, but it can clog up your arteries, okay? So maybe that's your compassion that God forgive me. And, you know, God's already forgiven me of everything in my past. When I came to Him January 2nd, 2000, 6:35 p.m., He forgave me. But when I confess to Him myself and hear it in my mouth, when Satan comes along, you deserve it. I might deserve it, but I don't have it no more. No, I have healing in the name of Jesus. I won't carry that guilt no more. The Bible says He took my shame to the cross. I'm a new creation. Born again. And folks, we have to remind ourselves of that. Or at least, remind ourselves, but just confess whatever it was in your life that you've done and our body is trying to reap the result of it. You've already been forgiven. He came to renew us. That's part of the DNA that we have now as Christians. So you just confess it to Him. It's just, hey, He's already forgiven. But when you hear yourself, God, I blew it. I blew all in the years. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for my salvation. But God, I know healing is part of my DNA. Was it your mind? Maybe your mind was abused. I'm telling you what, mental abuse can be worse than physical abuse. Amen? I was wrong. I was abused. I choose to forgive them. I will no longer walk under the spirit of heaviness, no more. My eyes are focused upon You. So many things can get into our life that we think we deserve because we're not perfect, and it stops God working in our life. Not that you're not born again. It'd be like me calling my son up. Let's say my son's going to mow my grass for me this week, and he never showed up. I call him up on Sunday, "Hey, son, I got $100 for you. Want to come get it?" Man, I can't really get that. I mean, I was just mowing the grass. I never did it. Okay, but this is what I have for you. I'm not changing my mind. Here it is, son. What will cause him to receive it? Hey, Dad, I'm sorry I didn't come mow the grass. See, I don't hold that against him. Amen? You follow me? I hope you guys are following me. I'm not holding it. Here it still is $100. But the minute he confessed it to me, it released him from the guilt. And he come get the $100 I was going to give him. Same with us. God has healing for us. And sometimes we block that healing because, oh, we don't deserve it. Look what I've done. Confess it to Him. It doesn't change Him. It changes you. You can receive it. Get that lie of the devil out of your head. Saying, yeah, you're not worthy. You don't deserve this. And receive that. It's going back to Mary. Okay, I don't know how. But I receive this. And what she had to do is fight the doubts when everyone come to her and accused her of lying, of doing things she shouldn't be doing. She just stayed focused on that word. And look how your life has changed today because of Mary's willingness to follow God. And He's the same today, guys. He's the same today. Now, Mary could have been around. Let's say Mary was a. Let's say she was a cheerleader for a minute, okay? And she had three or four other cheerleaders with her. A Highland Flinger. Okay, she'd be a Highland Flinger, okay. And she's hanging out with her friends, and here comes the who shows up. And he speaks to her. Man, that's awesome. But over here, her friends say, "Hey, you won't do that, man. We got homecoming next week. Man, we'll be out there in front of everybody. We'll be cheering and stuff. And man, if you receive Jesus, you won't be out there. You got to be careful. Now, you don't want to do that kind of stuff." And another one say, "Yeah, so just make you fat looking." All these, excuse me, they could have talked Mary out of it. But see, Jesus, and put it this way, the angel who came to bring Jesus one-on-one by herself. She heard the word of God spoken to her by herself. She's able to concentrate on it, believed it, received it, and no one else was going to change her mind. It was too late, Penny. It was too late. I mean, you can't be just a little bit pregnant, can you? Are you pregnant? Oh, just a little bit. Nah, you're either pregnant or you're not, okay? So once she had that agreement with the Lord, with God Almighty, yes, I'll carry Jesus into this world. She received it. Nothing was going to stop her. The naysayers, mom, dad, boyfriend, anybody in the neighborhood, she knew it. She knew it. And that's how we are today. Find that word. When you find a word, let's talk about healing. When we confess healing to our bodies, and we speak to our body, we speak our DNA. In the name of Jesus, I declare. I mean, I have that. I've shared many things with you guys, prayers that we have, declarations that we speak. When I speak the word of God to my body has to respond to it. Because it's created in the image of God. And the same spirit that created Adam and Eve lives in me. So when all I do is speak his word back out to what he's already created, and it lines it up. Follow me, folks? I don't want anybody to get lost on this. If you don't follow me, just raise your hand and I'll try another scenario. I got all types of ways of explaining this, okay? I mean, it is so awesome, but so simple. Is that spoken word of God in here? Now, where are the other cheerleaders at today? Well, when you say, hey, listen, I know where the word of God is. I'm going to be reconciled with my son someday or my daughter. They're going to speak to me again because they're my inheritance. God's word says that is. And people, yeah, I wouldn't count on it. See, that's the other cheerleaders today. You know? Oh, I know this is going to take place. No. Yeah. But that was back then. How many people ever heard that healing was back in 2,000 years ago, not today? Have you ever heard people say that? Oh, yes. Yes. Why? Because they were told that. But did he not, if you were born again, did he not heal your spirit right then? Did he not give you a life? Eternal life right then. Boom. So if he can do something so fantastic as to forgive us of all our sins and redeem us from the pits of hell for eternity, how much more will he do for us? And the vessels are going to be here for 120 years or less anyway. You ever see the movie Driving Miss Daisy? Oh, I hate to admit that, but I love that movie. Okay? She had a Hudson at one time. But grew up into a Cadillac. And what's his name? I can't remember the chauffeur's name. Morgan Freeman. And he drove her around. Think of that. That wasn't his car. Now, he did buy her used cars, amen? But he agreed to her son to be a chauffeur for mama. And because of that, she kept a good car in the garage to haul her around. Now, they didn't keep the 65 VW, did they? With the fenders coming off of it? Remember that, Kenny? Yep. Anyway. No. They kept a good car. He was driving Miss Daisy. Now, if he would walk away, quit the job, Would he still be driving Miss Daisy's car? Not legally, huh? Okay. Well, it's the same way today. Who are you carrying in your life? Jesus. Are you? I mean, that's a question. Well, you're carrying Jesus, but is he in the front seat, back seat, or in the trunk? He's in the front seat? Okay. Driver's side? Okay. I agree with you. There's a song out there, Jesus Take the Wheel. And it's kind of misleading, I think. I want Jesus as a passenger. That's why he wants to be a passenger. He can't drive it, but he'll give you directions where to drive. Amen? And that's why I look at it. And I agree with you, Olivetti. Jesus take the wheel. But who has his hands? Who has his feet? I mean, if Jesus took the wheel, he couldn't go nowhere because he don't have a hand and feet. Follow me? And we can get that point. Jesus take the wheel and walk away from that. I get the Jesus. And he's sitting here with his instruction book. Here, come on. Here. Okay, you give it to me. Here I am. here I am. But you're driving. You're a driver for Miss Daisy. When you're carrying Jesus, you're a driver for Christ. You got to understand that Christ wants to take care of the vehicle that's hauling him around. Understand? He wants to. At the same time, the devil wants to disable you. He wants you to get off track. He wants to stop you. And he can get in your head and convince you that what you've got coming today, you sowed it 40 years ago, and you deserve everything that you are getting. And Satan is a liar. He's a father of lies. When Christ came into your life, he came, and all them seeds you sowed years ago, he ripped the garden up. And now, the word of God sowed in you, you're producing good fruit. Don't let the devil come in to your mind and convince you that what you have is good enough. No. You want all that God has for you for his glory. And don't be ashamed of that. Whatever God has for you, and it's awesome, don't ever be ashamed to receive it. I don't stand up here and I don't preach prosperity, come to Jesus to get rich. No. Come to Jesus to be redeemed from your sins. But as you do that, he will pour into you what he wants you to have for him, for other people. And sometimes we get to the point, well, nah, I don't deserve that, you know. Give it to somebody else. If God offers it to you, take it. I mean, I would assume if I offer my son back here $100 bill a day, he probably would say, oh, no, Dad, give it to somebody else. I imagine he would take it. Would you not? Yes. If God wants to give it to me, I'll take it. And then once I get it, is it for me? Or is it for somebody else? See, sometimes we have this false humbleness. Oh, no, 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 no. Hey, you need anything today? You know? You got gas in your car? You got food? You need this or that? You know, if someone calls me and asks me that, I've got a whole list. I'll give it to you. But when that takes place, guys, and you do have a need, tell them what the need is. Yes, because God has laid it upon their heart to reach out to you. And everything we have belongs to God. It's supposed to be, right? Amen? So, that means your body belongs to God. Remember, you surrendered your body to him the day you got born again. He took over your body. He's the landlord, right? So when you got problems in the house and he's the landlord, you tell him, hey, we need to fix this. Whatever it might be. Okay. How does he fix things? Through his word and our faith. I can't explain everything that God does and how he does things. I just trust him. I just trust him and stand on his word. When I say stand on the word, I believe in his word. And how do I believe in his word? I hear it over and over again. I contemplate on it. I mean, that's how I got back here in Luke. I mean, I think I touched on maybe I think last year once, but you know, we kind of figure that the Holy Spirit, an angel spoke, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she became pregnant. But you know what the Holy Spirit did? It watered the seed that was planted into her spirit when the angel spoke. He found favor of God. That you will bear a son. That was the seed of it. Yes, the seed given to Mary. And the Holy Spirit came along and watered it. Now, how does the Holy Spirit water you today? Well, you just did. Number one, in the presence of God, praising him, rejoicing, thanking him. Once you made a declaration to God, God, your word is true, and I declare this, then it's thanking him, believing it. And that's the hardest part that we have at times, because that doubt comes up. But what if? It gets to the point that we trust God. We just trust him. Don't know how he's going to do it, but I know his word is true. And we stand on that word, follow that word. That word of God overshadows your life. As Joshua said, for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now, and he was talking about his house, but about this house here. Everything. Anywhere you go, you got eye contact with him, so I'm picking on you today. Everywhere you go, you shall serve the Lord. How you do that? Let Christ live through you. Amen. Yeah. Wherever we go. Well, yeah, and just live for Jesus. I mean, sometimes it's just being nice to people. That's how you serve them. You know? Sometimes you might encounter somebody, never even mention Jesus' name. But what you do for them, they know by your spirit within you. Boy, there's something different about Penny, you know? Maybe next time you run into him, Penny, what is this about you? Oh, man, you know, I just love Jesus. You know, he's part of my life, you know? Oh, really? Well, it's different, you know, because most Christians I run into, they're always trying to throw a Bible at me. And here I've been around you a couple of times, and you've been so awesome to me. I just need to have you something different about you. Well, tell me more about this Jesus. See? And so that's how we plant the seed, by just living for the Lord. Then the Holy Spirit works through us when we water them, you know. But again, I just want to encourage everyone to look at the joy of the Lord. And that is where it's at. Consecrate yourself to God. No other God before you. Let no sin entangle you. Let no lie of the devil get a hold of you. Because you are a child of God. Born again. Amen? Amen. Shelley, we want to share with us today the scripture on the joy of the Lord. And if you're not familiar, we have an Advent wreath up here. Advent means the coming of the Lord, and we got the four candles up here represents the 400 years of silence that God was between Malachi and the New Testament when Jesus came. And each candle represents a different attribute of the Lord. And we looked at the peace of the Lord. We looked at the hope. And today we're looking at the joy of the Lord. And so you want to come up? I'll tell you what, if you want to read that, I'll light the candle because everybody has trouble with that little lighter thing, you know? I want to share one scripture with you today about joy. And it's in Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 1 to 7. When we talk about joy, we find joy in the Lord. We have things out in the world that come against us all the time. Family members can come against you, friends, relatives, neighbors, enemies, government officials, all kind of stuff. But God sent His Son Christ to bring a joy into your life. And folks, the key to this is to please God. Amen? Please God. If you know that you're pleasing God, there's no more joy that you can look for. When outside forces come against you and they try to create this issue with you or turmoil with you, you can't control that at times. But when you know you're living your life with the one who created you, the one that had a plan and purpose for you, the one who gave you dominion of this world, the one who created you in His image, He wants to be in fellowship with you. He did not create you to have you run around this earth and let Him throw lightning bolts at you. It's not a game in heaven between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and up there are lightning bolts and fire and brimstone. Let's get Bob Donnelly today. Ha ha ha. Boom. No. He created us to be in fellowship with Him, to love Him. And it's so great that He made this place called earth. He planted a garden and gave it to us. Wow. How many people have you tried to please in your life? It backfires on you. Or you've done things for them and they don't appreciate it. The more you do for them, it's like the less they come around you, the halfway. They only come around when they want something. And that has a habit of dragging you down. But from now on, let's get our focus back to God. When you do something for somebody, and you know the Lord told you to do it, or how nice it is, and somebody doesn't appreciate it, that's okay. You just please the Heavenly Father, right? Did He say to love your neighbor? And so you do something for your neighbor, and they don't appreciate it? That's okay. You're not going to steal my joy, neighbor. Because my Heavenly Father said for me, love me. Now I'm not talking to my neighbor. I'm going to go to the door and say, hey, listen. You can't steal my joy. I know you appreciate what I did for you. I mowed your grass. I raked your leaves. I picked up your dog poop. You didn't appreciate that? I'll tell you what. You ain't going to steal my joy. No. I'd be in a conversation with my Heavenly Father. My prayer, hey God, listen, I love my neighbor. Kind of difficult, but I know it pleases You. And no one's going to steal my joy. If we do things by the following of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, what more can you ask for joy? I mean, did not Jesus bring joy to the Heavenly Father? And they crucified Him on the cross. But He still brought joy. That was His number one thing. God, not my will, but Your will. And so the joy that we're talking about today is following the Lord, doing it as He instructed us to do, forsaking the outside forces, not listening to the world. I mean, you can watch 10 minutes of TV and allow it to steal your joy. Or you can watch, I'm talking about news. Or you can watch 10 minutes of the news and say, man, Jesus, you're getting ready to come, aren't you? Because aren't these the signs that He said of His coming? Yes. Oh, Lord, you know, I hate to see the way the world is today, but I know that's how close You are to coming. Who can I pray for today, Lord? Who is out there walking in darkness right now that would step into hell if You came back today? Let me pray for them. One more day. I shared an example one time. It was like, I'll pick on Daryl, man, okay? I'll pick on my son. Because sometimes, it's hard to pick on my son sometimes because I start crying inside of me like, no. My son and I are out on a boat and the boat capsized. I make it to shore, he doesn't. And here comes Bob Clark along. He's in charge of the fire department. And he says, hey man, we're going to try to find your son. And he jumps in and he takes his scuba gear and his other partners with him. And they search around, they come back and say, yeah, we haven't found him yet. I said, man, just give up. No. Not yet, Bob. We're going back in one more time. He's willing to risk it all for him to find my son. And next thing I know, hey, Stark, we found him. He's on a log. He's tired, but we're going to bring him in. How thankful would I be that Bob Clark, even though he was wore out, tattered, exhausted, was willing to go one more time and rescue my son. And folks, I see that as us today. We're tired. We're getting tattered. We're getting wore out. But just one more day. One more day, because out there somewhere is another son or a daughter hanging on to a log, going down the stream, as I see, headed towards a fall. But one more day, one more to rescue them, bring them into the knowledge of Jesus, to be born again. That has to be where our heart gets at. Otherwise, we'll get thumped up so bad. Satan will get the point that, I won't say Satan, the world will get on you so bad that you want to go in and shut your door, play reruns of the old days on TV, and say, come, Jesus, come. So we endure another day, right? Because we see the sign of Him coming. And the time for those who come to the Lord, the doors will be closing. It's during the church age. So we need to be strengthened. And so the joy you can have when you look at the things or things around you, Father, I bring before you today my son Ryan. Now I just speak life over him. He's my inheritance. I have a good inheritance. Your word says in Psalms 91, that no plague shall come upon me or my household. My son is part of my household. You said, I have a good inheritance, and that's my son. He will be in the kingdom of God. His name shall be written in the Lamb's book of life. God, send warriors around them. Send those workers in the field around my son that he'll listen to. He'll come to know you, Father. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Send them. At that moment, what more can I do? Have I not did what God wanted me to do? I interceded, I prayed. I allow Him to be involved in my son's life. Next morning, thank you, God, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, that my son is coming to you. Thank you that His name, just thanking Him. And that's our joy. And this time of year of Christmas time, we can get kind of down because loved ones who once was with us has passed on. But let's look at the joy that we have that through Christ Jesus, being reunited again. Yes, well, they're not here this year. But soon, very soon, we're going to be reunited. Because my God says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Amen. Amen. So the verse I'll share and close is Luke 15, verse 1 to 7. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. I say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you receive sinners. So he told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than other 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And Jesus came for the sinners. He came for me. I'm imagining you, if you've ever sinned. And it says there that one of them got strayed. So I mean, at one time, that one was in the flock. Amen? But we got led astray. In my mind, I picture the grass. He's eating, okay? And probably there was a fence in my head. There's a fence there, a barbed wire fence, 3-strand. Okay? And I see the sheep going underneath it. He knew he wasn't supposed to be over there. But he went anyway. He's out there just falling. He gets out there for a little ways, and pretty soon he turns around. Here comes the shepherd. Hey, hey, hey! And the sheep looks around like, wait, come on. And the shepherd doesn't say, come back here. The shepherd picks the sheep up, puts them on his shoulders, and carries them back. That's us. We went astray, and Jesus came after you. He came after you because he loves you. He cares for you. Some of us have been with him for a while, then we stray away. Jesus comes back. He comes to get us and brings us back. That's how important we are. That's where we have the joy of the Lord in. We all can be carried away. We all can get our mind fixed on other things. Greener grass. The next thing you know, we're on the wrong side of the fence. You're over here, you look back, and sometimes he's like, nobody's going to talk back to me. Okay. I can't go back now, man. I'm too far away from the herd. But you know who's standing beside you? The shepherd. Put you on his shoulders. And when you're up on his shoulders, you look around, you see now why the shepherd came after you. Because on the ground, when you're little short things, you can't see the wolves that's trying to devour you. He brings you back into the fold. Brings you back into the pasture. And that's the love of our God. Think of that. He's willing to do it. He did that for us. To redeem us. What more joy can we have to know that we've been redeemed from our eternity in hell? That the God who created us, that we had turned our backs on him, still loved us, came and rescued us through Jesus. Please God. And don't worry about the world. We all like to have people like us, right? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if I sit down at night and say, "Well, God, I did this today. I really made him upset, but I did the best I could. You told me to do this. I pleased him. I have that joy. And no one can steal away from me. Nobody." Amen. Anybody have any questions this morning? Anything I might have said, or any time since 11 o'clock, anything I might have shared with you? I don't want to leave anybody like, "Oh, I'm not quite sure." If you're thinking about a question, by what I've said, somebody else might be thinking the same thing. So, all right, amen. We have birthdays today, you say? Oh, yes, let's share that.
Almost a couple years ago, we had a girl who lived in the park and was helped through our ministry. And it says, she sent a Christmas card, and she's been writing to us on a regular basis. And here's what it says. "I hope things have been going well with everyone in the church. I've been doing very well up here, working a lot and saving up money since I'll be done here in 2 months." So she's got 2 more months. "I'm excited to be able to get to video chat with my children and watch them open the presents that I send home to them." That was one of her great desires of getting better, was to have a relationship with her children. She says, "As always, I appreciate all the prayers and the continued support. I am sending a $25 gift card in hopes of helping a little bit with someone else for food and whatever is needed. And then she goes on to explain that there was some food here when she needed food, and her heart's desire was always that she could give back someday. Mm-hmm. And she's at the point now where, for the first time, she was able to send $25. That's a lot of money. $25 gift card so that we could get food, so that it'll be there for someone else in need. She says, God bless you all for all the good that you do all year round.
Amen. So
that's a story of hope right there, an answered prayer.
And so when you see us both eating Chinese this afternoon.
Oh, gosh.
No, no.
Success story.
Amen.
That's what Jesus excels in, success stories.